All right, good vach, everyone. It's chus to be together to prepare for the Heilige Yontiv. I want to thank always the Shriers for opening up their bias. It should be a chus for only simcha and bracha in the whole mishpacha. It was very exciting. We're mamish. You know, we don't usually call the day before Chanukah Erev Chanukah. We call it, you know, Erev Pesach, Erev Sukkis, Erev Shavuos. But the Yom Tovim D'Oraisa, but we spoke, those of us who are together Thursday night, or if you heard the Torah, we said the Chanukah also, in a way, is a Yom Tov D'Oraisa, according to Chassam Sofer. So we're holding now, in a very, very heilige time, a very special night. It's Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, that a little bit ago we learned about how special Matzei Shabbos is, but also Erev Chanukah. We're getting ready for the Lichtige Yom Tov of Chanukah, this powerful Yom Tov. A Yom Tov that represents unquestionably a hislavus, a passion in Avodas Hashem, an excitement in Avodas Hashem. The whole Yontiv is about fire, right? About candles, about fire. My son's Rebbe, Rebbe Groner, Shlita, the Rosh Hashiva of Atar Shimon. So Rebbe Groner, he's mamish, he's full of life. He's full of excitement, hislavus for Yiddishkeit. And whenever something's going on, whether it's like a beautiful Seder in the yeshiva, or they have every Thursday night, Hachana l'Shabbos, they do late Thursday night after the regular learning, they have like a tish with singing and Torah to prepare for Shabbos, it's very beautiful. Whenever anything's going on that's special, which to Rabbi Groner, everything's special in Avodas Hashem. So he calls, he says, it's fire. He says, it's fire, you know. Seder this morning in yeshiva was fire. Hachana l'Shabbos was fire. The tish was fire. Shabbos was fire. That's how he speaks. What's he trying to say? He's trying to say it was full of excitement. It was full of passion. It was an emotional experience of closeness to Hashem. A fire represents emotion, represents ruchnius, represents spirituality. There's no question the fire of the menorah is the fire of Avodas Hashem. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Mem Hei, says that the fire of the actual menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was taken from the Mizbeach. That's where they got the fire from the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is the Makom of Avodas Hashem. The Makom where we serve Hashem, where we brought Karbanos, representing our Avodas Hashem. And the fire of our menorah comes from that fire. It's a passionate Avodas Hashem, that's what it's trying to teach us. That Yom Tov of Chanukah should enlighten us and enliven us, inspire us in our hislavus, our passion for Avodas Hashem. Not just do. Not just serving Hashem with our learning and our Torah and our mitzvahs, but in a passionate, exciting way. That's what Chanukah is supposed to represent. In fact, Chanukah is Gematria 89. It's exactly Gematria Lev Mizbeach. Represents the heart of the Mizbeach. Because Mizbeach, again, is our Avodas Hashem, but the heart of the Mizbeach is the passion of our Avodas Hashem. The passion of serving Hashem. And that's what fire represents. That's that Eish, which is always flickering and moving. When you're excited, you're passionate, you're always moving. You're always moving. That's the fire of Chanukah. And that's what Chanukah is trying to tell us and trying to teach us and trying to inspire us. To reignite the flames of our life in our Avodas Hashem. The truth is, a lot of us, we've had times in our life when we've been inspired and we've been excited and we felt that we had a very passionate Avodas Hashem. But then there are times in our life where that fire has faded away, where the flickering has faded. There are times in our life when we feel that the fire of our Avodas Hashem has been extinguished. There are times when we feel the fire of Avodas Hashem has been extinguished. So Chanukah surely is the time to reignite that flame. To relight the fire. Representing again our passion and our Avodas Hashem. In fact, there's an incredible halacha when it comes to Hilchos Chanukah that the Bnei Sosker says is exactly this point. There's a machlokas, we'll learn a little lumdus, girls, tonight. Right? There's a gemara in the machlokas in the gemara whether hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah. I'll explain what that means. Hadlaka osa mitzvah means, is it the moment you light the menorah that you're mekayim the mitzvah? Or is it hanacha, just the placement of the menorah being lit? Is that the mitzvah? Now it's hard to understand the difference just saying it like that. Let me explain in a dogma, in an example. Because the machlokas has many nafkaminas, many concrete differences in halacha based on that machlokas. Let me give you an example. The halacha is a menorah is not allowed to be higher than 20 amos from wherever you're lighting. Meaning, if you live in an apartment building and you're on the fourth floor, which is more than 20 amos from the street, you're allowed to light it in your apartment. It's not more than 20 amos from your floor. But if you were in some massive gym, you can't light it. 20 amos is like 36 feet. It's pretty high. Or these very large menorahs that they light outside, right? Chabad has a very beautiful minhag to be b'mfarsem the neis, to publicize the miracle in public places throughout the country. We have right here in Cedars Park, Rabbi Waluk puts up every year, it's up already, the menorah, and it's going to light every night, the menorah, extra persumenis, it's very, very beautiful. There's a discussion, halacha, whether you're allowed or not, to make a bracha on that, because no one lives there. But there are poskim, and I think that's how Chabad holds, to light the menorah even with the bracha. Perhaps there are people there that aren't going to be lighting the menorah, you could rely upon non-frum Jews, whatever it might be. But it's a beautiful, regardless, bracha, no bracha, it's a beautiful minag, persume nisa, to publicize the miracle, but those menorahs can't be more than 20 amos in the sky. Whatever exactly, sure, it's a little machlokas, what an am is, we'll say about 36, 37 feet. Let's say you lit a menorah above 20 amos. Not one of these tall ones, a little menorah, but you lit it above 20 amos. And then, after lighting it above 20 amos, you took it and you lowered it and you put it somewhere low, in a normal place, and left it there for a half hour. Were you yotzei your mitzvah? Are you allowed to light a menorah above 20 amos and then move it lower than 20 amos? Were you yotzei your mitzvah? So if you say, hanocha osa mitzvah, it's the placement, it doesn't matter the moment you light it, what the parameters were. You actually had it in a place for over a half hour, because that's halacha of menorah is supposed to be lit for at least a half hour. Could light longer than that, but it doesn't need to be longer than that. After 30 minutes, if you need to, if you have to go somewhere, you could blow out your menorah. Only has to be for 30 minutes, right? So you put it lower than 20 amos. Where are you yotze now? When you lit it, it was above 20 amos. But now it's out somewhere over 20. If you hold hanocha osa mitzvah, the placement, it was in a placement for over 30 minutes, you would be yotze in the mitzvah. If you hold hadlakos mitzvah, hadlakos mitzvah means the moment I light it, it has to be with all the proper halachos, it has to be with all the proper shiurim, everything that you need to be yotze the mitzvah. If the moment you lit it, it didn't have that, you weren't yotze the mitzvah. So if you lit it above 20 amos and you lowered it, you'd have to relight it. It would be meaningless. And with the new bracha, the first bracha was not a good bracha, it wasn't a good lighting, it was meaningless. I'll give you another example. You lit your menorah, and you put a drop of oil in. Just a drop of oil that wouldn't last a half hour. And then, after lighting the menorah, you added a lot of oil. Enough to last an hour. Were you yotze your mitzvah? If you say hanocha to mitzvah, it's the lighting, it lit for a half hour, you yotze. If you say the moment you light it, it has to be fit to last a half hour with all the proper halachos, you were not yotze. You hear, girls? We paskin hadlakos a mitzvah. The practical halacha is that at the moment you light it, it has to be in a perfect situation halachically. You can't make changes to it after. It has to be fit to last a half hour. It has to be in all the proper gedarim and all the proper shiurim at that moment. Now, that's not just a chumrah. It's not just a strictness. It also has a kula. What's the kula? What's the leniency? A case as follows. It means the moment I light, that's when I'm yotzei my mitzvah, 100%. See, if I lit, for example, this case, let's hear one more case, where it's a leniency. I lit with a perfect amount of oil, in a perfect placement, obviously below 20 amos, and I lit it in a place where it's not windy, it shouldn't go out, it should last over a half hour. And then, imagine this, right? We lit the menorah, and then you have your baby two-year-old sister, or your baby niece or nephew, two-year-old, doesn't know much from Hanukkah, okay, maybe he's excited about presents, but this child, they see candles, they think right away, birthday cake. You know, this must be. All they know about candles is birthday cake. And they walk over to the candles, and they take a big breath, and they blow out all the candles, 5 minutes after you lit them. Do you have an obligation to relight them? Do you have to relight them? Man, we said it's supposed to light a half hour. It's supposed to light a half hour. But you lit it with the potential to last a half hour. That was out of the norm that a little child would come and blow them out. You didn't know that would happen. Now, of course, you can relight them without a bracha and gain the extra persuminisa of them being lit. You can. That's not a question. But do you have to? If you don't, were you yotze your mitzvah? And the halach is hadlakos a mitzvah. Since the moment you lit, it had all the proper situation and potential to last half hour, you were yotze your mitzvah. And even if it gets blown out, you're still yotze your mitzvah if it didn't last half hour. That's referred to in the Lashon of the Gemara in halacha, kafsa. Kafsa, which means it gets extinguished. Eino zakukla. It's machlokas. Do we say kafsa zakulak? Do we say if it gets extinguished, you have to relight it? Or kafsa eino zakukla? Or if it gets extinguished, you don't have to relight it. And the halacha is kafsa eino zakukla. You lit it at lakos a mitzvah. You lit it and it got extinguished. You have no need to relight the menorah. You don't have to relight the menorah. That's the halacha. Comes the Hilga B'nai Yisachar. B'nai Yisachar tells us that this is telling us something very deep and special in our lives. A very big avoid in our life. Telling us a very big lesson to each and every one of us when it comes to Chanukah, because we started out by explaining Chanukah is all about the Hislav, is the passion in our Avodas Hashem. And you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach each and every one of us through this halacha? That if Kavsa, if we feel that our fire in Avodas Hashem becomes extinguished, if we feel that I'm not serving Hashem with the same passion that I used to, and the same passion that I want to, don't get down. Don't think it's over and it's like I did nothing. And I have to start over anew. Eino Zakukla is teaching us, even if the fire goes out, Kadosh Baruch Hu appreciates your Avodas Hashem. Of course, we want to rebuild that fire. Of course, you want to and you can and we should. But altis yayish, don't get down and out. Don't think it's worthless. Don't think all that you've done until now has been worthless. And don't think a continuation of Avodas Hashem, even without the fire at the time being, is worthless. You know, there's a Gemara that tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever this means exactly, the Shechina of Hashem doesn't go pachus me'asara, lower than 10 tvachim. There are various halachas that this connects to. Yet the best place, the menorah, which represents our passion of Avodas Hashem and our connection to Hashem Baruch Nis, is supposed to be, the best place, we said it can't be higher than 20 amos. The best place it's supposed to be is lower than 10 tvachim. It's not supposed to be higher than 10 tvachim. It's about 40 inches high. Now again, a lot of our houses, our windows are higher than that. It's better to be in the window for Pesuminisa than lower than 10 tvachim. But if you could put it in a window, or if you're not putting it by your window for various reasons, which we're not going to get through all the halachas right now, when you would do that, then it should be best lower than 10 tvachim. That's the best place to put it. The halachic reason is because higher than that, it looks like you're just doing it as a lamp to illuminate the room. We want to know it's clearly for a mitzvah. So there's a better place to put it. Surely if you're putting a light so low, it's better. It's supposed to be higher than 3 tvachim, so it's not like it's on the floor, but lower than 10 tvachim. But that tells us that lower than 10 tvachim, on Chanukah, Kodesh Baruch Hu even comes to us when we're lower than 10 tvachim. Meaning, when we're low, and we don't feel ignited, and we don't feel our passion, we're connecting to Hashem. Ain't no zakuk lo when it's extinguished. I could be close to Hashem. Even when the fire goes out, all that I've done until now is meaningful. Oh, but we want to reignite the fire. And that's what Chanukah is here. Chanukah is here to not get down about it, but to reignite the flame. So how do we do that? What do we have to do? What's our avoida? Shkoyach, we spoke the other night, and surely we're gonna light the menorah and hopefully have some time to sit by the neros and do some cheshbon and nefesh, contemplate our lives, and try to build a closeness. But what exactly can we do if we feel that we don't always have the passion we'd like? It's hard to always be on fire. To always be on fire. It's okay, it's a chizik to know that Hashem loves us either way. And ain't a zakukla, even when we come extinguished. It's a chizik. That's a first step. That is the first step. Not to get down and out and be misyayish. But now what? How do we reignite the flame? How do we build the passion again? So what we say, we have to live with the parasha. We have to live with the parasha. This Shabbos Kodesh had within it all the Kedusha of Chanukah already. Because the Shabbos before a week, Vayivarech Lachem Yom HaShviv HaKadosh, so all the Kedushin Bracha of the upcoming week comes from Shabbos. So all the Kedushin Bracha of Chanukah came from this Shabbos. So if you look into the parasha this week, we have the answer. So I saw a Torah from Melech Biderman. He says so beautifully. He says, the Pasuk says, we all know the storyline. We all know what happened. All the brothers want to kill Yosef HaTzadik. They're ready to kill him. They think he's talking badly about them. And he's showing off they should all bow down to him. Comes along the Bechar, comes Reuven. Vayishma Reuven, Vayitzileu miyadam. Vayomer lo nakenu nafesh. Reuven says, Reuven comes and saves him. We're not going to kill him. And what does Reuven do? Reuven says, Vayomer lo Reuven, Al tishbichu dam. Let's not kill him, just throw him into the pit. Now every one of you knows from a very young age that pit, what that pit was. That was a pit. They threw him in a pit, they threw him in a pit that had no water. And what was in the pit? You all know. Right? Nechashim v'akravim, right? In this pit were snakes and scorpions. In this pit that they threw him in were snakes and scorpions. Nechashim v'akravim. So wait a minute. Think for a second. Was that really going to save his life? How long is he going to last in there? Yeah, okay. The dam is not on our hands as much. It's more of a passive than active murder, basically. Is that really much better? Lo aleinu. I mean, just to understand. A person goes over to someone else. I mean, I don't want to get gory, but it is gory. This is the right? A person goes to someone else and shoots him and kills him. Okay, you killed him. And then to someone else, you go and burn their house on fire. You know they were sleeping there at night, and they die in the fire. In both cases, did you not kill that individual? So one was a little more passive, right? One was a little more passive, and one was a little more active. So what did Reuven really do such a great act? By the way, Reuven realizes he didn't do enough. And that's why Vayashav Reuven al Abor, he goes back to the pit. Baruch Hashem, the brothers already took him out. But he returned. The Medrash says that's the first case of tshuva in the Torah. The first case we ever see tshuva in the Torah is where Reuven goes and realizes I didn't do good enough. I heard from Rabbi Yamin Yudin years ago, such a beautiful Torah, such a beautiful pshat. I think I'm sure I've shared this with you before. This Torah Mamish, this is a Torah I heard from him when I was a junior in high school. I can't tell you, probably on one hand I can tell you how many Torahs I remember from high school. It's the truth. I'm not saying they didn't make an impression on my heart. There were a lot of Torahs that definitely changed me into who I was and who I've become. But I can't tell over too many, remember too many Torahs that I learned in high school. I was a junior in high school in 11th grade. Sum Gedalia, I was an MTA. Right after Rosh Hashanah in 11th grade. And they had this learning program, and the Rabbi Yamin Yudin, who's a Rebbe in YU, who's the Rav in Fairlawn, he spoke. And he asked the following. He said, it says that Reuven was the first to do tshuva in the whole entire Torah. Reuven was the first to do tshuva? Because when he came back to the bar, when he came back to the pit, he said, what do you mean? We have a chazal that Adam did tshuva after he ate from the Eitz Hadas. We have a chazal that Cain did tshuva after he killed Hevel. What do you mean Reuven's the first to do tshuva? He's not the first to do tshuva. We have other individuals before him that did tshuva. The Beis Halevi already asked this question. It has very beautiful answers, not for now. So he said such an amazing answer. I didn't even plan, you can look at my sheets, I didn't even plan on saying this over tonight, but if you only heard this Torah tonight, it was worth it. I should rather say if we only live by this Torah, it was worth it, but Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zaycheh. That's why we learn all Torah. All the Torah we learn is only so we live by the Torah. We're not here for intellectual pursuits. I mean, maybe, I don't know, Halavai, we all enjoy it on an intellectual level, hopefully. But the void of all the Torah we're learning is to make an emotional imprint on our heart, and that we should be different people because of the Torah that we learn. Halavai. To daven, we should daven before we learn together. Say kapitul tolim that all the Torah are after, both before and after, that the Torah that we learn should make an imprint on our hearts. You're here on Matzei Shabbos of your own time because you want to learn on an intellectual level. Nobody's here. I'm sure you're very bright. I don't mean that you don't enjoy intellectually. That there's no greater chachma than Torah. I know that. I'm not saying that. It wasn't like trying to put anybody in this room down. I'm sure some of you are much brighter than I am, maybe all of you. That being said, nobody in this room is coming out on Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, or some people call Saturday night. You have A lot of us have tons of responsibilities all week long in school and work and other things. Here you have first moments of freedom in a certain sense, quote unquote. You know, to really, when I say freedom, to do what we want with our night, and we're going to come to learn Torah together. Why are you coming to learn Torah? So I could get some knowledge, some intellect. That's not why you're coming to learn Torah. You come to learn Torah because we understand that our whole avodah is to grow and to be close to Hashem and be inspired and feel alive. And feel alive and do what, right? What do we do in life? We want, this is because it brings a pekudei Hashem yisharim zamchi leiv. There's nothing that brings us more simcha in this world. It's halavai, it should be, I hope. And what were we talking about? Rabbi Yudin said, he said like this. Listen to what he said. Mamish, such a Torah. His Torah. He said, of course Adam did tshuva, and of course Cain did tshuva. But they did your classic form of tshuva. What is classic tshuva? I did something wrong, I need to improve upon it. I did something wrong, I need to improve upon it. Talking about high school. If we think about our high school days, there's plenty of tshuva we all have to do. Let's be real. Okay, we're not going to... No one has to admit and not raise their hand right now. I'm starting with myself. I'm just talking for myself. I'm still doing plenty of tshuva. So it's your classic form of tshuva. But a lot of times that's hard. Or other times where, Baruch Hashem, we hit a point in our life where we're like, somewhat, I hope, as Hashem, like, past that. We've done that tshuva. We've moved on. But we should be in a state of tshuva always. Rabbi Yudin explains, you know what it means? Reuven was the first to do tshuva. He was the first one to do tshuva on a mitzvah. Meaning he did something good already. I could do it even better. He's the one who all the brothers want to kill Yosef. They're ready to kill him. He says, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit. Which obviously at that point that he felt that's all he could get through with. I mean, because his brothers were out there. They were ready to kill him. He couldn't convince to really save, he felt. So he got them to throw him in the pit. Then he went home to take care of Yaakov. He realized, wait a minute, I did good, but Yosef's going to die anyway. It's not good enough. I have to do better. He was the first to do tshuva on a good act. Halavai, each and every one of us, could we not do tshuva on the way that we daven? Could not each and every one of us work on our daven? We all daven, Baruch Hashem. So we're doing good. Could we do it better? That also is tshuva. On the way we connect to Shabbos, on the chasodim, how nice we are to people, this is also tshuva. We always have to be in a state of growth. We always have to be growing. Always has to be in a state of growth. That's Yosef, this parsha is all Yosef is not. The Yosef is Asaf, to grow, to work on herself. Always be growing. If we always are growing, there's no time to fall. Always be growing. Always be something. If I asked, I'm not going to do it, don't worry. But if I asked any of you, tell me something you're working on now. We should always have an answer to that. Something that I'm looking at. It could be very small. But I always should have in my mind something I'm looking at. Obviously, we're all on a more global level, looking to grow as a Jew and as a person, but also individual thing, little something always I'm working on, something I'm looking to grow in. I'm in a state of growth. So that was Reuven. That's Vayashav Reuven al Abar. Yet right here at the beginning, when he had them throw in a pit, which we know, if we really think about it, wasn't much of a help. He would have died in that pit. No one's going to last with no water, snakes and scorpions. Yet the pasuk says, "Vayitzileu meyadam." He saved him. Did he really save him at that point? Did he really save Yosef? So he saved him from a quick, instantaneous death to a slower, probably more painful death. I mean, really? Rav Melech Biederman says, being that he did something at least small to help him live a little bit longer at that point, the Torah tells us, "Vayitzileu." Meaning, our avodah is to do what we can. Reuven at that point seemingly thought that's all he could get through with the Shvatim. That itself, Aitzileu, we saved him. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates even the small things. And appreciates and looks at them as very big things. And our avodah in life is even if we feel like our fire has been extinguished at times. Kavsa. Don't stop and don't give up. And then just do slowly, a little bit. And do even if we don't feel it. And the fire will come back. We'll reignite the fire. It will happen. But don't stop the small acts. Don't stop doing whatever that might be. And we see this specifically by the menorah as well. The menorah in Parshas Baal Oscha, when Aaron is commanded to light the menorah, the pasuk says, Vayas Kein Aaron. He's told to light the menorah. And he did it. And Rashi there says, what is Vayas Kein Aaron? Lahagid Shvacho, to tell over his praise, Shal Aaron, Shalosh Shina. He didn't deviate. He didn't change. What kind of Rashi is this? Aaron HaKohen is going to change and deviate from what Hashem told him to? What do you mean, Shaloshina? Of course, Shaloshina. I mean, what? Imagine the Rebbeinu Shem comes and tells you to do something and you go and do it. That's a Shevach that he didn't change. He didn't decide to do something else. Hashem said, light this menorah. And he decided, instead of lighting a menorah, I'll play dreidel. I mean, like, really? You're not going to, mean Shaloshina? That's a Shevach? Great, Aaron. What's it telling us? Comes Eil Gies Mach Yisrael. Yisrael Chisrael says that, you know what Shulshina means? He never changed, meaning he never changed, and he never changed doing this mitzvah. Meaning what? At the beginning, when we start doing something, we're excited, we're full of passion. Of course we're going to do it. And then at times, life gets the best of us. The Tahara gets the best of us. And sometimes our emotional connection, our fire, it fades. It flickers away. You know what the Torah is saying? Aaron Shloshina, the praise was, he never changed. He never stopped doing it, even if he wasn't in that emotional state that was so exciting. Just do. Like Nike says, just do it. Just do it. That's what the Rebbeinu Shel wants from us. Never to stop. And if we don't stop, the fire will come back. The passion will come back. Especially on a Chanukah, when that's what the fire is all about. And we have to realize, even when we fall, when we don't feel so on fire, that too is to help us somehow. That too is just to help us grow. To Yerida L'Tzarech Liyah. And that was the message in a couple weeks in the parasha. In parashas Vayigash. Very famous. We all know when Yosef Tzadik, after revealing himself to his brothers, so he sends back to Yaakov to come to Mitzrayim. And what's he send? To hint him that Yosef is still strong and he's still close to Hashem. And don't get concerned that I'm not just physically alive, I'm spiritually alive. What does he send to his father? What does he send? Wagons. Wagons. Why wagons? Because, oh, beautiful. Whoever knows, right? I remember the last thing we were learning together. They were learning Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa is a whole intense halachic discussion of if you have an individual who died outside your city and they don't know who it is, so you may decapitate an animal's head. Not to get into all the halachas of it right now, why? It sounds a little strange. But the word egla for the calf is the same word for agola, a wagon. So it's supposed to be merami, it's a hint. That I'm sending wagons because I remember the last thing we learned together. Meaning I'm still connected to Torah. Yaakov, Tati, I'm good. Don't be afraid you're going to come down here and see that I'm physically alive but I'm spiritually dead. Because to us, Yidden, that our children should be spiritually alive is just as important as physically alive. Just as important. So Vayaris Agolos. So the wagons. The Heilige Shem Shmuel says it was a different message. There was another message he was sending Yaakov. Because Yaakov, why would Yaakov want to come down to Mitzrayim? To the Tum of Mitzrayim, the Taiva of Mitzrayim, the immorality, to live in such a makom? So you know what Yosef was saying to Yaakov? A wagon, agola, is from Elashan eagle. What's eagle? It's round. The wheels. And agola are wheels. The wheels are round. What happens when something's round, when it's turning? So when the wheel turns, and the wheel, let's say, you take any point of the wheel hits the very bottom point. It's only going to the bottom, so that it comes right back up to the top. The wheel represents Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah, that we go down in order to grow. And Yosef HaTzadik was telling his father, Tati, come down, don't worry. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be here, it's because it's Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. And that's what happened. Yes, we went through Galus Mitzrayim. But how did we emerge from Mitzrayim? We went down 70 people. We emerge over 2 million people. We emerge coming out of Mitzrayim as a nation, ready to what? To be Makabel Torah and to enter Eretz Yisrael. To learn. We learned during those years what it is to be an Eved. To be an Eved Hashem and become Klal Yisrael. That's when we become Klal Yisrael. It was a Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. All Galus is for that. As we spoke about a few weeks ago, if you remember, Yaakov Avinu goes to Lavan, and there, in Charan, is where he gives birth to the Shiftei Ka. If we're in a state, it's where we're supposed to be, and we have to make the most of it. It's a Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. So wherever we fall, even when we feel our fire is extinguished somewhat in our passion, just don't stop doing the little things. They're big in the Rabbanu Shalom's eyes. They're very big in the Rabbanu Shalom's eyes. Vayatzileu. And the fire will come back also. Will be reignited. Mirtz Hashem on Chanukah, which is this Yontif. We said over a story the other night, Mam Jehelik's story. I'll tell you another one. This one I might have shared with you before. I've said this one over before. Couldn't find in my notes. I don't remember all the exact details and the names, but there was an individual, and he was stuck somewhere. He was traveling years ago, and he got stuck in a particular city for Shabbos Kodesh. He didn't know anybody there. He didn't know what he would do. And he ended up bumping into an Erev Shabbos, a Yid. And he asked him, he said, you know, I'm here, I'm stuck. The Yid said, of course, come to me for Shabbos. Love, please come to Shabbos. So he was very excited. He didn't realize when he gets to this person's house, this person was like, mamish, a gvir is an understatement. He was mamish, the wealthiest Jew in the town. He lived in a palace. So this man was very excited. That's where he got to stay for Shabbos. He knew it's going to be delicious food, it will be beautiful accommodations. Okay, very nice. They go to shul, El Shabbos, beautiful minyan. They get home, mamish, the table is set like for a king, as it should be. For Zoyche, that's what money is for. It's Kavod Shabbos, as we've spoken about. And it was beautiful, it was incredible. But he had on that Shabbos table, and the foods, oh. And the zmiros were so beautiful, the Torah was flying. It was incredible, obviously This man was a big Talmid Chacham as well, giving over Torah to Shabbos table. This guest, as he's sitting there, he's looking around the room. You know, when you're somewhere new and you're taking it all in, and there's beautiful things everywhere, the chandelier, and there's a break front with the most elegant pieces of silver he's ever seen. And in that break front, amongst all these beautiful pieces of silver and other things, there's a little jar, but mom is broken, like shards, a little broken jar. It's a little bit strange, amongst all the beautiful items in the break front. What's it doing there? So he asked, he wasn't, if he already had like a nice relationship, the Baal Bayis was a very warm person. He says, I have to ask, you have such a beautiful house, such beautiful things. What's that doing? And it's so strange. In the middle, it was mamish also, front and center, like the focal point of the break front. He says, that's the most precious thing that I own. The most precious thing that I own. What's pshat? He says that he himself, he grew up originally in a frum family, but his father passed away at a young age. Elias is talking now. He says, and he went off the derech completely. Eventually, he was upset and about his upbringing and different things, and he went off the derech. He wasn't frum at all. And he ended up becoming very successful. He got married. He was Jewish, but didn't keep any mitzvahs. Nothing. For years, raised his children. One day he's walking home, and he sees a bunch of little boys. And one of them is in the middle crying, with a broken jar, broken jug with oil all over on the floor. He comes over and he wants to comfort them. And they're all these Jewish boys. He says, what happened? What's wrong? He was clearly, you can see by his tattered clothing, he was an impoverished little boy. And basically, his father saved up for a long time money before Chanukah to be able to purchase oil for the Chanukah licht. And after saving for a long time, that day, he gave this boy the money to go buy the oil. And he said to the boy, please go straight to the store and straight home. So you bring this precious oil because there's nothing more precious than being Mekayim Mitzvah. And the boy goes to the store and buys the oil and is coming home and he sees all his friends outside playing a chasnish ball, kickball, whatever they were doing. And you know, a little boy, he's an 8-year-old boy, maybe 9-year-old boy, and he says, you know what, let me just put down the jar, I'll put it down here safely. It'll be fine, let me play for a few minutes, no big deal. Tati won't even know. And he puts it in the jar and starts playing, and of course, the ball ends up going and hitting the jar and it's shattering. And he's there crying. And he's crying to this man, what will my father say? What will my father say? And it hit a place so deep in this man's heart, what will my father say? And first, he takes out his wallet and gives this boy some money. He says, go purchase new oil. for your Chanukah. Here's enough for plenty of oil and extra. Then this man as well, his heart was awakened. And he starts to think, what will my father say? What will my father say, Achramev Asrim? My Tat in Himmel, the father in Shemayim. What's my father going to say with my life? What's my father going to say about my life, where I'm putting my priorities, what I'm doing with my life, how I'm serving him, my lack of serving him? And he himself also went to the store. And he didn't even know it was Chanukah that night. He forgot for so many years, and he purchased the menorah, and he purchased oil. And he got home that night, and his wife's, what are we doing? What's going on? And he said, we're going to start lighting Chanukah lich. Tonight is Chanukah. We're Yidden. We can't hide anymore. What will our father say? And that year, they lit Chanukah menorah. Nothing more. But one thing led to another. And over time, they became Shomrei Torah mitzvahs in every way. Bali Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem. So big, big, big foundations, pillars of their community in Avodas Hashem. This is the koyach of Chanukah, to reignite our flames. And then to go one little thing at a time. And even if our flame isn't ignited yet, to do one little thing at a time. And realize how precious that is to Hashem. Just to open up our doors. You know, there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, it says, Yiftach Bidoro, Kishmuel Bidoro. Yiftach Bidoro, Kishmuel Bidoro. Yiftach, in his generation, was like Shmuel in his generation. Pashup Shat, they were both big leaders of Klal Yisrael. Comes the Chidush Arim, the Gerer Rebbe, says, Yiftach Bidoro. Bidarech Drush, I'm saying, Yiftach Bidoro. Yiftach also is not just a person. Yiftach. Yiftach means pasach, to open up, right? Yiftach, if we open up ourselves just a little bit. Do a little bit. Just open up a little bit more. Bidoro, in his generation. Wherever I'm holding, whatever situation, whatever circumstance it's in. Whether I'm on fire or I'm not on fire. But Yiftach, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you just do a little bit more. Kishmuel Bidoro. You're like Shmuel HaNavi. Yiftach Bidoro. And he continues and explains. That's what it is. We say in the beginning of Parshat Kisese, and it's talking about going out to war, Kisese l'melchama alevecha, when you go out to war on your enemy, but all the Mefarshim, and the Zohar already says, it's talking about the war with the Yetzer Hara, which we know is so strong, and that's what extinguishes our fire, and brings us coldness in our Avodas Hashem. So we want to fight against that, and be on fire in our Avodas Hashem, be passionate in our Avodas Hashem. Kisese l'melchama alevecha, when you go out to war against your enemy, the Yetzer Hara, unasano Hashem l'kecha biyadecha, Hashem will put him in your hand. You'll win. Biyadecha, Beis Yud Aleph Chaf, is Rashi Tevos. Yiftach Bidoro, Kishmuel Doro. Scrambled, right? The Yud, Biyadecha, has a Yud, Yiftach, Beis Bidoro, Yiftach in his generation, Kishmuel Chaf, Doro in his generation. Meaning what? As we said, Yiftach Bidoro, just open up. Open up a little bit, do a little bit, wherever we are, we're going to be Kishmuel. You're like Mamish, like Shmuel Navi. And that's what it is, that's how we'll capture the Yetzer Hara. We see what was the whole nes of Chanukah. The nes of Chanukah was finding a drop, the nes at least that we celebrate and commemorate, obviously the real nes was winning the war, but the nes of Chanukah we celebrate and commemorate, a drop of oil that lasts 8 days long. It was just a little bit that went so far. So too the lesson to us, every little step that we take, every little thing that we do, is so meaningful today, Bishter. And we'll reignite that fire. You could have, Mamish, it's incredible, right? Well, that's the way fire works, by the way, as well. If you think about it, as this Yontif is all about that age fire. How does fire work? Mamish, if you go, if you've ever been a part to make like a chlesh, like a bonfire, you ever seen a bonfire, ever been by a bonfire, and you could collect tons of wood and put a little oil in it, and you can make this massive fire. And you know how it starts? All you have to do, one little match, you throw it in, and mamish, that little fire could become the biggest of fires, right? So to Yiftach Bidor, just open up a little bit. And we can reignite and become this big fire. And that's the mitzvah in Chanukah as well. You know the mitzvah in Chanukah? Mitzvah in Chanukah, really the halachic mitzvah, as far as just purely the mitzvah, not mahadra, mahadra, it's just one candle each night. One candle per night. Zeh, one candle. It's all you need to do.
If you're somewhere, you only have one candle, make all the brachas, that's it, one candle each night. That's the Ikar Mitzvah, Ner Ish U'Beiso. So all the Rabbanim is asking for us, just one little fire. One little fire, one little thing, one little step. You came tonight, it's one shir. One shir could change our lives. If we allow it to. Mamasha could open up. Could be a different person. Mamasha changed our lives. That's our avodah. Yes, it's true. There are times in our lives when we feel that the fire has been extinguished. We don't feel like we want to be who we are. We know who we want to be, but we don't feel that we are that person. First and foremost, kofsa in a zakakla. Don't get down. Don't get depressed. Don't get depressed. You've done something. Everything you've done till now is meaningful, and you're going to reignite it. And step by step, just like Reuven only did a little, but it's considered like he saved. Giftach bedoro. Realize if we fell, that's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us there, and we're going to get right back up. It's an agala. It's Yerida Letzarech Aliyah. And it's never too late to get back up. It doesn't matter where we are. Oh, I was in Eretz Yisrael learning for a year and a half, whatever it was, and I hid like such a good boy. Now I fell, but I'm in Chutz Lars. I can't go back to seminary. I can't do it. And I got to where, how am I getting, I can't do it here. No, you could do it here. Of course you could do it here. First of all, everything that you grew is still part of you. It's there. It just, so you put it a little bit to the side for whatever reason. The Yitzhara got the best of you. Because he says, Zilonochoma, Evecha. Go out and fight a little harder. Fight it. This is a Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. The greatness of Klal Yisrael, we said, happened in Charon, happened in Mitzrayim. That's where it happened. That's where it was. That's where we could become greatest. It's easy when you're in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, that's where we should be Zoicha to be. But we could do it here. It's much greater, and we all can. So let's make sure each and every one of us, again, we sit by those candles. And we allow them to penetrate our hearts and to feel that fire, this lavas with the Rabbanu Shalom. But let's also make sure that we go through this Chanukah and think about, we're always having one thing that we're working on. Take the little step, yiftach. That we should exit, start already throughout Chanukah. One thing that I'm going to work on, the Chanukah will make a change in my life. The Chanukah is going to be, Chanukah, you know, in the Heilige Sfarim, Chanukah is the end of the days of tshuva, actually. We're still connected to Rosh Hashanah now. Chanukah is the end of the days of tshuva. It's an amazing thing. This is the real. You know, we always hear the end. The end is Yom Kippur, and then Sukkot is also Simcha. Oh no, but the end is Hashanah Rabbah, right? Hashanah Rabbah still. Now we're saying even Chanukah. Yeah, even Chanukah is far and bring down. Even Chanukah is this is the real end. Mamma says, no, this is the real end. By the way, finally, a hit pshat. You want to hear pshat? Why? Why Chanukah? Okay, Hashanah Rabbah, you can hear already. It's still close to the Yom Narayim, to Yom Kippur. And we know the Sukkot is tshuva mesimcha, be'ava, and that tshumira. But we had a whole break of cheshvan. We haven't thought about Yom Narayim. Suddenly, it's still tshuva now. You know what the answer is? We know for something to be really set and strong and say that it's real, it takes 90 days or 90 times. That's why it is. When we switch to Mashiv Ruach HaMar HaGeshem, right? So the halacha is, let's say a week later, you're besafik after Shemon Esrei, you don't know if you said Mashiv Ruach, so you have to repeat Shemon Esrei. But a month later, you don't have to repeat Shemon Esrei because we assume you already said it. Because if you're davening three Shemon Esrei a day, 30 days, 90 times you said it. After 90 times, it's so set, the chazaka is that you've probably done it. That's who you are. If you read articles, Lo Aleinu, we shouldn't know from it, when it comes to addictions and rehabs, they say when you hit 90 days, it's a very massive, big point. If for 90 days you could walk away and you've changed, that's when like your chemical makeup already has a strong, significant change. 90 days. So if you take from the Heilige Yom Narayim, you take from Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of Tishrei, 90 days is Mid-Chanukah. 90 days is Mid-Chanukah. So it takes till Chanukah to know for sure what changes we've made. So you can say, oh, but I made changes then and haven't been doing it. Yiftach b'dor k'shmul g'dor. Now's the time. Chanukah still gives us that fire to reignite and to really show that we're going to make the changes. And to utilize the chizik of a Chanukah to show the Rabbanu Shem who I want to be. Amir Hashem, each and every one of us should always feel the fire of Avodas Hashem. But the times that we don't feel it, kaf sein zokol, don't get down about it. Just continue to do. Don't stop doing. Never stop doing. And realize then the fire will come back. and always be in a state of growth. And the Rabbanu Shalom will see the true Avodah Hashem that we are, even when we're in Galus, even when we're in Chutz La'aretz, and he'll decide we don't need the Yerid anymore. It's a Zman La'aliyah with Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and Mashiach Zikeinu will be lighting Menorah Beis HaMikdash every single day. With Mashiach Zikeinu, B'mheir V'Meinu, everyone should have a heilig, beautiful, lichtig, chanukah, full of simcha, full of aur, full of geula, full of Yeshua.